powerful you are. You're okay with this. It's okay right now. It's great to be together, amen? And it's great to be in God's kingdom. I'm looking forward to, you know, last week was Resurrection Sunday. That was an incredible time together. People came forward at church and asked, could they study the Bible and want to get right with God? So we got studies going on and people trying to get right with God. That was very inspiring. But the week before that, we did a heart of gratitude. And I want to pick up part two on the heart of gratitude this morning. I want to read something to you, and then I want to take a few minutes to talk to our kids, our teens, because it's very important for parents for us to understand something. If our children is not grateful for you, they're going to have a hard time ever being grateful for God. If they can't connect gratitude with you, who they see, how will you expect them to have gratitude for someone who they've never seen? That they've never seen. And so we got to really help our children. That's our responsibility. To have a gratitude for their parents, the father and the mother that God put in their life. And they'll see gratitude from you, from the Father above. And they will learn that from you. And it's very important that we teach our family gratitude. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Thanks, Anthony, for the water. And while we turn there, I want to also tell Nasir, JC, Ozell, we love you. They've been going to the website, listen to the message. So can you give me a panoramic, that's what we call it? And spread around. Can everybody say hello to my brother and sister brothers overseas? Can everybody try and say, hey, get faces. Y'all speak. Find the parents. Find the mom and daddies. Find the brothers and sisters all over the world. Jamie, Ken, get in the mic. Get in the face of it. Say hello. Make sure he sees you. There you go, man. Yeah. Where is Jada? Stand up, Jada. Make sure she speak to your future husband. Tell him hello this Sunday morning. Where's Sonia? Sonia, stand up and speak to your husband. Tell him hello. Put on blast. Zoom her in. Yeah. Yes. And guys, praise the Lord. We love you guys. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Amen. Amen. So make sure we shoot them a text and let them know to go to today, April 23rd. This gets up by usually on Monday night or Tuesday, no later than Tuesday. And have them so they can see and feel our love. Amen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The word rooted, which means to become fixed in Christ, to be settled in Christ. That's what we talked about couple weeks ago. A overflowing thankfulness is a running over with gratitude. I had water up here, remembering the thing. I pour water in this cup. And remember how the cup kept overflowing? And I said, this got to be our hearts. An overflowing of gratitude. Just overflowing. That we must not take this for granted. And I also challenge church, let us pray as a church daily that God will teach us to have a heart that is overflowing with gratitude towards him and his son, Jesus Christ. Anybody remember me saying that? Raise your hand. Anybody been praying that? Keep your hand up. See, we got to keep praying. Go ahead. That God help our hearts stay overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Now, jumping into part two, I'm going to open up with my teens and my children and the kids that God has put in the church. So, it is very important that you guys understand what gratitude is. So to help me be sure that you do understand it, so I'm going to put it this way. Today, when you got up this morning, I want you to show me your hands. Kids, too. Did you thank your parents at all today at all? Did you thank them for anything? Express gratitude. Raise your hand high. Okay. Less than half. Pretend that. Okay, over the weekend, since Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Did you go to your parents and say, Mom, Dad, Mom, thank you, or Dad, thank you so much for just being my parents, just being here. I'm just so grateful for you, for the funds, for the money, anything you thank your parents for. Since Friday, Saturday, Sunday, raise your hand. You thank them, okay? Still, put your hand down. That's not everybody consistently. Something is wrong. There's a disconnect that you guys got to understand that you have a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot to be grateful for your parents. One, that your parents love you. Now, show me a hand. Give me a show of hands. How many of you believe that your parents love you? Raise your hand. Raise them high. I want to see them high. Put them up so I can see them. Okay? So that's all of you. So you believe that your parents love you. Then why are you not thanking them regularly for their love? So you can just simply say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. And love is not if they buying you things. Love sometimes is for them not to buy you things. Love is not always buying what you want. Love is sometimes saying, no, you can't have that because that's not good for you. I don't want to spoil you. I don't want you to take it for granted. Love is also teaching you to appreciate what you have. So we got to, as a church, as a body, as parents, we got to do a better job teaching our children to be grateful for what they have. That they cannot, they got to learn not to take this for granted. Because if you take your parents for granted, you're going to take God for granted. You just assume he's there. You just assume that he'll give you what you need. You don't even have to ask for it. You assume it. You know. How many of you get, your parents give you money for lunch every day? They provide lunch for school. You go to school. How do they provide lunch? They either put an account, they provide, or they give you money, or through your life, they make sure you got gas money, your car insurance. How many of you have a car? Okay. Do you pay the bills on all your cars? Okay, say no. Say it like you're proud. Say it to the parents. Say, no, I don't pay those bills. Say it. Okay, so who pay those bills? I can't hear you. You can't go, my parents. That tells me something's missing. Who pay the bills? Who is they? Your parents. Who pay your bills? My parents. So it's important that we express gratitude for that, right? It's important because, well, if you don't pay, guess what? You can't drive. You won't be able to drive. You can't go anywhere. You do, you're going to jail. You're going to go to jail. It's against the law to drive without insurance. Do y'all know that? It's against the law to drive without insurance. You better not hit nobody without insurance. They're going to dig a hole. They're going to have to go find you. They're going to put you under the jail. So we got to make sure that you have all that you need. Well, who gives you that? But see, what we got to, what this, see, it's important you understand God gives you parents to make sure they take care of you. So if you're not grateful for the parents God given you, you will not be grateful for God. God has given you those parents to take care of you. So there's a lot to be grateful for. You know, my kids are older. Brittany and Michael are older than you guys. And so they have grown, and they thank me for everything. They constantly thank you. I'm grateful because we stay on them, teaching them to be grateful. And so no matter what we do, how we do it, I mean, gratitude is coming, oozing out of them all the time. But we had to teach them that. And tell you, it's been time. Y'all heard me tell a story about Christmas? How many of y'all ever heard me tell myself what I do for Christmas? Okay, what do I do for Christmas with my kids? They're going to have a lesson. What lesson are they having? About Jesus. You know, and when we first started off, thank you there, Rosin. We first started off, Mike would be like, he'd be going to the present. Like, all right, Dad, are we done yet? Are we done yet? And the closer you get to the present, no. You're going to get this. And then after he learned, man, they really got into it. They just accepted it. We got to get into this with all our heart, and then we can get into that. But we got to get in this first with all our hearts. You know, and then we just kept building on that. That made it, and we've never, correct me, Brittany, if I'm wrong, or help me. I don't ever remember giving y'all more than, me and Mama ever giving y'all more than two or three gifts ourselves. I don't ever remember doing that. Now parents have all these gifts, and the Christmas tree is so full. Man, I ain't never did that in my life. That didn't make sense to me. What are you doing? So if my kids need a pair of shoes, I don't wait till Christmas to get them a pair of shoes. I'm just going to get it and teach them to be thankful to a pair of shoes or shirt. But when Christmas came around, it wasn't about them getting a bunch of things. It's about Jesus. And be grateful that you have parents that love the Lord. So we got to teach our kids. It's, as parents, it's our responsibility to teach them to love God. Teach them to be grateful. Thank you, but it needs to be overflowing with gratitude. I've had Brittany school to have lunch. How many of your parents are going to have lunch with your children at school? Parents, have y'all ever done that? That's good. We would go and just have lunch, and Brittany was easy. Michael's not here, so I can get on him. He's doing good. I saw his little video when he went into D.C. You got to see this thing. As he got in D.C., he videotaped going into D.C., and it was hell storming. He went, what have I done? He was driving, oh, my God, it's hell. Florida! And he sent it to us. That was good. And then he went to his room. Oh, this is a good one. He goes to his room, and his room is no bigger than life from here, like a little square right here. And he goes, so this is my room. Okay, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to spread things out. I've got to put boxes up. And he was thankful and grateful. But it's not near as big a room he just left. And so there's things that goes on. So he's 24 still learning to be grateful and be thankful. And we got to constantly teach our children that. Constantly. And I was telling you, I would go to Brittany school, and Brittany, man, she'd just be so proud. We go, Brittany, just I could just buy the cafeteria food, just show up, and Brittany just glad daddy's sitting there. Is it the opposite? Was it Michael? So it was Michael was just eating all the cafeteria food. You had to bring things. Oh, he said, thank you for correcting me on that. So Michael would eat anything in the cafeteria. That's right. It was Michael. We call him Hungry Harris. That's right. I passed that on to him because that was my nickname growing up, so I passed it on to him. We used to call him H.H., Hunger Harris. That boy eat everything. Michael don't complain about nothing in the cafeteria. Everything is delicious. Everything in the cafeteria is just delicious. This is the best food in our world. We just eat it. And Michael would be astonished how people didn't like the food. He'd be looking at him like, really? So you ain't going to eat that? Really? But Brittany, that's right, baby. Thank you for helping your daddy. He's over 50. I remember now. Brittany was a whole nother thing. She offered daddy coming, but you got to bring something. You gonna have to bring a little something. Don't just show up now and think we're going to the cafeteria because I don't want that. But she was still proud. When I come, she'd be so proud. But Michael caught wind one time and said, wait a minute. I can never forget this. He's that manager. Wait a minute. Hold up. Back up. I heard what you bought Brittany last time you came. Remember this Brittany smile? Hey, I want some pizza too. Mike said, and by the way, I heard what you had. Brittany shared her stuff. Okay, wait a minute, Mike, you're getting extreme. What do you mean she shared? Dad, I got four friends. Can you bring a pizza for all four of us? And Dad, we eat large. And if you can bring two, that'd be great. Like, well, slow your roll. How about I bring a couple slices? And can you cut them in half? And everybody get a half of one. But I took a whole one, and they killed it. And ever since that day, I created a monster, because he's like, whoa, man, you come to see me? You know that large pizza you bought last time? But Michael, you love this food. It's the bummer, Dad. You know that pizza good, too, though. But we worked out all that day. We really enjoy spending time together. Parents, you've got to spend time with your children. You got to teach them to be grateful. We can't put it all on them. What are we doing to teach them to be grateful? Because if they don't see you being grateful for what you have, if you're complaining about what you have, my God, you better be careful. Because they hear kids don't just do what you say. They do what you do. You want to complain and whine and be critical and upset about things in life, just life, they're going to become the same way. So you got to be careful. They got to hear gratitude, even through the toughest times. Got to see you smiling and encouraged by what God has done for you. Right. Even though it's challenging, they look at you, you happy? Well, you just don't understand what God has done. It'll teach them to be just like that. So it's very important. I really want to encourage our kids to really take to heart about being grateful for your parents. Being grateful. Amen. Really start thinking, I need to just write some things down that I can thank them for. When the last time you wrote down, say, I'm going to write 10 things down that I'm thankful for my parents. Have y'all ever done that before? I encourage y'all to do that today. Write 10 things. You should be able to write 100. But just write 10. 10 things down that you're grateful. And then I want you to go to your parents and tell them. And how are we going to do this too? I want you to tell them before they walk out the room. Tell them why they're here at church with God. This is what I'm grateful for you for. I'm grateful for these things. Amen? Now I ask my kids, could you think of two things off the bat that you're grateful for your parents? Raise your hand. Just two things. Tell me if you can think of two things right off the bat. Okay? Put your hand down. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Somebody count for me. Count backwards. Do you have two things that you can think of that you're grateful for your parents for? Everybody, okay. So, put your hand down. I want you to take time out. We're going to take a two-minute fellowship break. Go tell your parents right now those two things that you're thankful for. Everybody, go right now. Go to them and put your arms around the thing. Just don't speak it to them. Go hug them. Go now. Go. I want you to hug them. I want you to tell them what you're thankful for. I want a hug. I want to see hugs. You got to tell both parents, too, at least two things. Your mama back there, Shanae, you need to raise. Yeah, yeah. Go contact, hug, talk to him. Yeah, John, you say John need more time. He got more kids. Johnny said, you need a lot more time. You got more kids. That is awesome, brother. Do you feel the spirit in the room? Can you imagine if we do this every day to one another? Every day. Man, every day you will wipe Satan out of your heart. We'll get rid of him. Because if Satan is just trying to destroy our households and destroy our homes. And it's very important that we communicate love and gratitude and gratefulness. Are you with me? Welcome, William. And it's great. It is great that we're able to do that. We didn't have to work today, so we got to pop in on his lunch and get with us. So I'm very grateful that we had this opportunity as a church to express. Let this be a beginning. And Courtney, your mom's not here, but you go home and tell her. We got all of us. It's important that we communicate. Express gratitude. Amen? Yes. Are you with me, church? Yes. Now let's get in the Word of God. I want to read a poem to you. It is entitled and it was submitted by a group called Word Weaver. And it's entitled My Cup Has Overflowed. Listen to this. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, cause my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loving ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he has bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong. My faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once, the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads I have hold. I'm drinking from my saucer Because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage, when the way grows steep and rough, I'm not asking for others' blessings. I'm already blessed enough. Because I'm drinking from my saucer and my cup is overflowed. To help others bear their loads, then I keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Do we recognize all of the blessing God has given us? Can you see and understand that your saucer or cup is overflowing? Because if we do, we will have a heart that's overflowing with gratitude towards God. But if we're blinded by Satan and fall into his deceitful schemes, we will miss drinking from our saucer and our cup will not overflow. Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19 says this. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone's heart hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. It is very important that you understand when your cup is not overflowing, a lot of times it's because the evil one has come and snatched the gratitude out of your hearts. We got to not let Satan do this to us. Satan will cause us to miss all the great things God has done for our lives. And he'll put things in your heart that is not so. He'll put his deceitful schemes in your heart. And you got to guard your heart from his schemes. Do not allow Satan to take your cup or saucer of gratitude and empty it, draining it dry, and then refilling it with his deceitful schemes. Don't let Satan cause your heart to get hard and drain all the goodness out of it, and then refill it with all his garbage. We got to fight for this. It takes humility to tell each other thank you. It takes love and humility to express gratitude. And sometime in our household, we don't thank each other enough and our hearts get hard towards one another. Then we hurt each other's feelings, we're too prideful to say, I'm sorry. I was on a road yesterday with Miss Friesen, me and Vanita. Left on Friday, spent the night with her. It's been very challenging for her, but I'm inspired by her faith. She lost her husband in July, lost her sister last week. Her twin sister is sick. Her dad's sister is in hospice. She'll be going to funerals for a while, looks like. That reminds her of losing her husband. But yet she's full of joy. Her cup is still overflowing with gratitude towards God. I get in the car and I almost had an argument with my mother-in-law. How do you have an argument with Vanita's mom? I get in the car and Satan jumped in my heart because she started trying to give me money. Mark, I'm going to pay for this trip. Y'all always doing paying for everything. You ain't paying for my food. I got it. No, mama, I'm paying for this. No, Mark, I'm paying. Mom, I'm paying for this. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, if I'm sitting here arguing with Mama Friesen, we at a gas station. Damn, we're going back and forth. I got this. No, I got it. No. Oh, Jesus, hold time out. Then Vanita gets out of the car, walked towards me. She just smiled. I'm like, am I sitting here arguing with Vanita's mom? I repent. Mom, please. If there's any way in God's name, with Jesus and sugar all over it, can I take care of this one? You're always taking care of me, Mark. Here. Okay. Thank you, Mama. And we had a great rest of the time. I had to be humble. Because it is also humbling to receive. It's humbling to give, and it's also humbling to receive. It's more blessed to give, but it's very humble to receive. I had to be grateful. Why can't I be grateful also? I had to express gratitude and thankfulness. God was testing me up and down yesterday. And then Vanita, sister, comes to me. You always paying for stuff. Here's some. Look here. Now, wait a minute. Time out. I just went through this with your mama. So this is what I need. I got Sylvia good. Thank you so much for your blessing. I love you, sister. Now receive my blessing. She told me, no, he didn't. Receive my blessing, my love. Thank you so much. I didn't turn your blessing down. You shall not turn my blessing down. You got me. You know, and then she teased me at the end of the day. We was together all day about some of that blessing you just gave me. Praise the Lord, sister. But it's important that we look at the spirit we had with each other. Me and Vinny's brother-in-law, we disagreed on something in the Bible. And Vinny said, well, let's don't argue about it. I said, I'm not going to argue. He said, I'm not arguing either. But we're going to talk about this. We talked about it and we got done. And afterwards, while we were all together, I said, now, I want to apologize if you felt that maybe if I use a certain word. He said, no, brother, everything's okay. And then we got one-on-one. I went to him again and said, I just want to make sure that we're okay. He gave me the biggest hug. We are okay. And I went back to her sister. I said, I want to make sure everything is, Mark, it is great. I want to go overboard in humility. I want to leave. God, we got, man, the world is already beating us up. We ain't going to beat each other up. Not happening. And you got to have that same spirit about your household. The world is already beating them up. I am not going to beat you up. We're going to apologize. We're going to repent. We're going to build each other up. And if I got to lead in this until you figure it out, then I'm going to lead in it. Don't expect your kids to have it all right. So you might have to lead it in a while, and God will give you a nugget that they're getting it. He'll give you some nuggets that they're getting it. And you'll be encouraged. And like a brother told me, Peter Bangalter Garcia, when we was out in Boston, and that's his name. That's his full name. I'm proud that I learned how to say that. Hey, and we were out in Boston, and I'll never forget, Vinny was helping out the teens, and he told us, he said, guys, do not look for gratitude from your teens. You might not see it till you get to heaven. But don't let that hinder you from showing them gratitude. Oh, that was a mouthful when he said that. He said, some of you serve these teens, you pick them up, you drive off across town, and then you get your feelings hurt because they don't say thank you. What are you doing this for? For a thank you from them? Or are you doing this for God? Let God sustain you with gratitude. And it will teach them to be thankful. That's the spirit we got to have. Are you with me? Now let me get to the parents. Y'all going to make me be going to part three. It's time to get to the parents now. Time to get to the rest of us. Because it's very important that we get this right. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to thank y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to thank y'all for having a spirit to follow my lead when I actually let the kids be in here. You see, I hope you see now why I want them here. It's just the beginning. I think as a family, I want us to grow in this area. And I believe God will open the floodgates with us if we get this right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. A heart that is overflowing with thankfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. My God, my God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal life. We fix our eyes on heaven. The goal is heaven. We have not seen it. This mess we've seen is all around us. This monetary trouble that goes on all around us is temporary. But if we don't lose that heart of gratitude for what God has done for us, we'll get the glory in the end. We must not allow the troubles that goes around us, parents, even raising your children, the troubles in raising them, hinder us from seeing the big picture. The one who raised Jesus will also raise us from the dead. You know what God means by that? Let me show you in Romans 6, 1 through 4. And we'll come back to that. Let me explain it to you. How does God raise us from the dead? Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ raised him from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. God says through baptism, through Jesus, raised to a new life, coming out of that water, we change. We got a new life. That's what help our heart have a heart of gratitude. See, you got to remember what you come out of. You got to remember what it used to be. See, that's why I mean you can't let Satan snatch that out of your heart. Because if you forget where you come out of, you'll lose the heart of gratitude. Don't forget who you used to be. And it'll keep you full of gratitude. I remember who I used to be. I'm embarrassed by it. It's insulting that I used to be a thief, a liar, immorality, cheating, stealing. It's embarrassing. I remember where I used to be and don't want to go back no more. So it keeps my heart grateful that I'm married. You kidding me? I said I would never marry. Everybody I knew was fooling around and adultery was going rampant and they divorcing like crazy. And the military was the worst. But God raised me to a new life. Brought me up and taught me what's right. And helped me learn that I could be a father and I don't have to fool around. I stand proud of you this day. I've been married 29 years coming up this year. And every day is like new. And I've never fooled around on my wife. Not once. And I'm proud of it. But I know I got to take it day by day by day by day. Yeah. Stay in the fight. Yeah. Be open by my life. Stay holy because he's holy. Yeah. And Satan attacks my heart all the time just like he attacks yours. Yeah. When Vanita hurt my feelings, I'd be thinking she's Beelzebub. But really, it is me. He plays games in my heart and my mind, and I have to fight through it. And I don't give in to it. So we talk through everything. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, she ain't Satan. I'm just making this bigger than what I need to be making bigger. But what if we didn't talk through things? What if we didn't love each other? What if we didn't get our feelings hurt and don't say one word to each other? It gets bigger, and you can't let your kids do the same. Because they hurt your feelings, you hurt their feelings. Don't let them go in the room and shut the door. And don't talk to you because their feelings are hurt. It will become bigger than you can handle if you're not careful. It just gets bigger. So you demand get out of that room and get to talking. We got to talk through this. And we got to show that you be humble. You start off with an apology. Man, my goal wasn't to hurt your feelings, but my goal is to teach you what's right. Don't you know that's what Paul says in the Bible? He says, my letter I see hurt you. But I see from my letter it calls you to repent. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. We got to have that same spirit. Okay, I see what I did. It hurt your feelings, but you're repenting, and that's what I was going for. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. We got to not let Satan cause that divide in our household. You young marriage, you young engagement, y'all better get ready. It's not always googie eyes and everything ain't so wonderful. It ain't always that way. This ain't Hollywood, them lies. Hollywood's full of garbage. You gotta know, and you gotta connect yourself around with couples who will tell you the truth and be open with you. Don't act like they always got it perfect. None of us got it perfect. But we all learn how to work through it and forgive quickly. I love it when my wife, when I get with a couple, we working through things, they say something, but they go, now, okay. Now, we had to work through that too. In fact, I had to work through that just yesterday. Let me tell you how I dealt with it. It always blew them away because we're so open. We don't get with people like, man, what's wrong with y'all? Let me tell you, we ain't never had that problem. No, man, we know. We don't do that. There's no such thing. You ain't going to show us nothing new under the sun. Because either we did it, we heard about it, learned how to deal with it. Nothing's new under the sun, so we can get through this together. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Same with raising your kids. Listen, I got a 26-year-old, be 27 coming up, and a 24 be 25. We ain't perfect, but there's nothing new under the sun. I've seen it all. Mike gonna show me more than you think. And don't let me get on Brittany. You can't show me nothing new, I promise you. So we work through it together. I ain't lying. Let me put Brittany on blast for a minute. I ain't never forget that time. She was 15-year-old, caught a ride home. Some senior wanted to give her a ride home from school to Madrid High. You know, and we couldn't find Brittany. I called the school. I said, my daughter ain't get off the bus. Y'all have lost y'all mind. Dan, Veronica, get over here. Remember that, Dan? Y'all got to come now. Right? We're like, what's up? I can't find Brittany. Dan said, oh, geez, I'm on my way. Me, Dan, Vanita, Brittany, we in there. I'm like, I'm on the phone with the athletic director. My child plays for you. Where is my child? She said, oh, Lord, Brittany ain't home. No, ma'am. Give me a minute. That woman got the phone and called every child almost in the school. Where's Brittany? Where's Brittany? Where's Brittany? Did she not get on? It took about 20 minutes. She called me. I found her. We sit at home, and I'm going to let her explain this when she get home. Oh, Jesus. Okay. She better be glad Uncle Dan I'm here because she better get to explain it. And she said she on her way. So I'm out. Me and I got your kids don't do as you say most time. They do as you do. I forgot Michael was watching me. I'm pacing. Brittany 14, Michael 12. I'm pacing. I'm like, Lord, Dan, you better talk to me, brother. Talk to me. Talk to Eric. Then y'all talk because if I don't kill Brittany, I'm sure I'm going to kill the senior that she's with. So somebody going to die this day. So get to talking. Bring me back to Jesus. Because I'm past Jesus. Jesus over there. I'm something else right now. And Vanita said, okay, Mark, okay, Vanita, calm her. But honey, let's find out where. You do all that finding out talking. Let me do the swinging. You do the talking. I'm swinging. And by that time, all jokes aside, I forgot Michael hearing everything I'm saying. So the dude started riding down the street. And I went, where? I was like, where's my Michael when he got a baseball bat? Walking down the street. Michael, oh, it's on now. And he using choice words, them N-words. It's on. Get out the car. And I'm like, Jesus, boy, get out the way. I got this. No, you don't, Daddy. I got it. I got it. Get out the car. I mean, Dad, you get Michael. And
Then either you get Brittany, because I got him.
And by that time, I ain't going to never forget. What did that guy do in the car when he saw us, Dad? What happened? You remember what happened? I thought you were going to leave and go back. Almost. Do you remember what happened?
He got out the car.
Before he got out of the car, that dude wrecked. He ran up on the curb. He was so scared. He was so scared. He ran up on the curb, turned off the curb. You hit me if you want to. Michael's still standing. Well, you better stop this car. You hit me if you want to. And he just zigzagging, get in the car, can't breathe. So I'm sorry. I was just giving a ride. But I'm going to get my daughter a ride home. I don't know you. And you don't know me. Look, 1, 2, 3. I got 3 cars. Do I need you to drive my daughter home? No. Brittany, Brittany tried to explain. Don't you explain squat. Get in the house. We'll deal with you when I get there. I want to deal with this right here first. Call your parents. I need to talk to them. You 18. My daughter 14 years old. Get to call them, boy. Get them on the phone. We got to have a discussion. Got them on the phone. We had a hard line discussion. But the mama said, bring the boy home to me. He have lost his mind. You touch that girl, you go to jail. She a minor. Boy, you're crazy. I said, okay, good. You on my side. You got it. Take it. I deal with mine, you deal with yours. And we dealt with it. Nobody died that night. Brittany's still alive. I still love Jesus. Dan's still my friend. Veronica's still here. Mike ain't in jail. That boy lost his mind. He lost his mind. I thought he was going to bust the windows out. We were grabbing Michael. I got him, baby. I got him. I got him. No, you don't, man. So what you think your kids, what? You think your kids done anything for one of my children? Even through that, we had to find forgiveness, love, gratitude, teach, patience. My God, we need a lot of that. We had to work through it. We laughing, but it wasn't funny at the time. When your daughter don't get off a bus at 3:30 in the afternoon and they don't get to my house till 8, where have you been? I like what Keanu said. I thought he was getting a ride home. It don't take that long. Right. Right. Now, I would give him this much credit. He laid out every place they've been, and he verified. It was at the mall, walking around, forgot the time. Well, okay. I'm finna forget my mind. Don't ever do that again. And he never did. And the school got involved. Well, Brittany had to go to school the next day. The athletic director, everybody was involved. Don't ever do that one again. Your dad don't play, girl. You're crazy. Most parents wouldn't have done nothing. Not your parents. Don't try that one again. He called an APB in the school district trying to find you. I had coaches, teachers, everybody lined up. You better give me an explanation. I want to know because I had her in your hands. She was at your field for sports. You supposed to turn it over to me. Hey, so I don't have to tell you, that never happened again. But we went through that stuff. And I had to learn to forgive Brittany. And still love her and make her feel forgiven as a parent. She had to regain some trust. You ever experienced that? Kids got to regain that trust. You blow up that trust, you got to regain it. It don't happen because you go, I'm tired. Can't get a hug. Okay, you can hug me, but you ain't done. I need about 1,000 of those plus some. Get the mowing the lawn, wash the dishes, and do some car work. We'll talk later. We gotta get into it. We gotta figure this out. We got in the word, and what Vanita was really good at, my wife, praise Jesus, she really. We gotta get in the word of God. There's something missing in your heart that you gotta be deceitful with us like that. Let's study this out, and she will always inject God every opportunity. To teach. So don't just inject you into your children, inject God into them. Amen. Make God the standard and not your standard. Because your standard should be God's standard. And God's standard is better than your standard. And they can break from God and be humble because what God said, you ain't gonna have nothing to worry about. if they can come to tears because they hurt God, oh my God, it's over. Don't let them just come to tears because they're scared of you. How about if they learn to be afraid of God? Because you ain't going to always be there. But listen, God is always there. If they learn that, game over for Satan. Michael called me this morning, and in his prayer, before he went to church, he said, my roommate just made me some, what you call them, funny looking toast thing? French toast. I said, your roommate made you some French toast? Oh, they don't want you to go nowhere. They think they got a jewel. That's all right. They got you temporary, but go ahead, let's move on. They made him French toast and did all this stuff and going to church, and then we prayed. And this was his prayer. God, thank you that my parents taught me that you are the standard and to have my own convictions. So it doesn't matter if I'm there with them or if I'm here by myself. I'll hold on to you. I almost lost my mind in that car. We almost wrecked in my mind because I was so inspired by his prayer. What else do you want your children to be grateful for and thankful for? That I'm on my own and I'm going to hold the line for what I've been taught. And I've been taught about you, God. Teach your children about God. So when the time comes, they hold the line because of God. Not because, oh, my mom and dad ain't here. Ain't nobody see me. We can get away with this one. That's the worst thing can happen. You getting ready to go to college, young lady. You want to let us join your conversation? Yeah, you forgive me. Let's don't do that again, okay? All right. That's why I got you here, so you can learn. You ain't going to respect me, and you ain't going to respect your parents or God. So anytime somebody's been preaching, you make sure you're paying attention, not having private conversation that has nothing to do with God. Okay? Amen. You getting ready to go off to college. Mom and dad ain't going to be around. You know, most students, when they go off to college, think, I'm free at last. Get buck wild. I can do stuff and nobody know nothing. Don't fall for that mess. God sees it. He sees it all. And he hears it all. So we got to teach our children that. Amen? Are you with me, church? We've got to get this on right. We've got to understand what's going on. Verse 16 and 17 talks about eternal glory outweighs the troubles of this world. The troubles of this world, your eternal glory outweighs that. So don't let that, just don't be discouraged. Whatever troubles you're going through, the glory of God that's coming outweighs all that. And you don't have to worry about it. Remember that. This is the why we have an overflowing heart of gratitude. Because we know what our eternal glory is coming. We know why we do this. Then it says, fix our eyes on heaven and not the things of this world. I love that part we read there. It's talking about fixing your eyes. My question is, what are your eyes fixed on? What have you fixed your eyes on? Is it sold out for Jesus Christ? Are you all in? I want to close with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, and then we're going to do part 3 next week because I don't want to rush through it. I'm not rushing through it. There's things that we got to talk about, we got to get on right. To get our hearts right. Because if you can get your heart right with this, my God, you see, God will open such a floodgate to you to blow your mind. If we learn as parents, as kids, to have a heart of gratitude towards God and all of his blessings that he's done for us. Then as people visiting the church, if you can learn that one reason you haven't got it yet because you haven't been born again. We're going to get to that. That's why, see, there's a lot of things you can't be grateful for until you understand what you died to. You ain't died to nothing. You don't know what to be grateful for. We got to learn to die to certain sins. I'm great because I know I died to immorality. I died to lying. I died to cheating. And so, therefore, every day I fight to be right with God. And so it makes me grateful. It makes me grateful. And then we got to learn as a people not let Satan snatch that out of our heart like we saw in the parable of the sower. Because you can get it and then Satan come take it out. And we can't allow that to happen. And that's what happened to us sometimes as Christians. We allow Satan to get in there and take away our heart of gratitude. We must not allow that. Look at Hebrews as we close here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorn and shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So it's very important that we don't lose heart. But the only way you're not going to lose heart, if you don't, you got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then you got to throw off things that hinder your heart. You know what hinders you. You got to get rid of what hinders you. How many times do you have your parents tell your kids that, you know, you got to be careful of the company you keep. You got to not put yourself around bad situations. That's getting rid of it, throwing away. Don't do that. Parents, we got to do the same thing. You know the adults that are around you that hinders you, that cause you to stumble. You got to know those who bring out either the good in you, the Holy Spirit, or those who bring out the bad in you, the evil spirit. You got to know who brings the best of you out or the worst of you out. You shouldn't be kicking with somebody who brings the worst, who feeds gossip, slander, hatred, jealousy, discord. You shouldn't be kicking with that person. That's not getting rid of the sin that entangles. So you got to know who brings out the best and who brings out the worst in you. And you got to surround yourself with godly people that brings out the best in you, that teach you how to have a heart for God. A heart for God is not poof the magic dragon. It don't just happen because you want it to happen. You got to go after it. You got to work at it. A relationship with if you're married, you got to work at that. If you're a parent, you got to work at it. You want to raise your children, you got to work at it. When you want to get around your in-laws, it's never easy. You got to work at it. You really do. You got to work at it. And you got to lead humility. You want to have a heart of gratitude, you got to work at it. God, teach me this heart of gratitude. Help me understand the scriptures. Teach me to be grateful for you. We got sisters in the room. Numerous of sisters. Deborah and Angela. Angela and Yanalise are sisters. You got a sister here. Two sisters. We got sisters and brothers. You have to work at your relationship. You want to be best friends? You got to work at it, because you can easily get on each other's nerves. They laughing. Oh, yeah. That happens. But that's what Satan wants to happen, Silhouette, with you and your sister. Want to get on each other's nerves. He don't want y'all to be friends. He'd rather you guys get on each other's nerves and stay away from each other. Because they know if y'all love each other and help each other and teach each other, you'll love God more. So the best thing to do to keep you away from God is try to divide, get you not liking each other, don't want to talk to each other. Girl, you make me sick. Oh, I can't stand you. He wants you to feel that way about each other. Instead of, man, you can have the shirt off my back. You know, Brittany humbled Michael is leaving. She humbled Michael, and to the point Michael came behind her back and said, Dad, Brittany rich or something? I said, what you talking about? Brittany gave me some money to go out of town. What this girl doing? I said, she worked 3 jobs, boy. Cupcake Land. I name her own company. It's another name, but I call it Cupcake Land. All they do is cupcakes. Costco And she does hair. And she works at it every day. Dad, you know how much money she gave me? Well, brother, son, just be thankful. Have you told her thank you? And then Benito said, yeah, have you told your sister thank you? Be grateful that she wants you to succeed. She ain't say, oh, you need something, I ain't getting you nothing. Don't ask me to come visit you either. Cost too much money. No, Brittany's not here. You hear me? When can I come visit you? I want to come to church, see how you're doing. But she cares. That's her brother. I want to make sure he does well. That's what we need to happen with our brothers, your sisters and brothers. Care for each other. Want to make sure each other do well, do their best. I got this meal. I'm very encouraged by Brittany. Brittany and Michael, they'll pay for each other in a minute. But don't let daddy be with them. They broke. Brother, they broke. They ain't got a dime. And Tim, Michael, when I'm going, he'll leave his wallet home in a minute. Dad, my dad, I ain't bring my wallet. Well, do you always forget your wallet when you go get something to eat, son? Or is it just when I'm with you? I just don't be thinking about it when you're with me. I just ain't thinking. But think about it sometimes. But when they go out together, as God's my witness, they come home, they got food. Man, I got this one, I got this. They are always buying each other food. They got each other. But my wife and I, we're always encouraged by that. Man, if one broke, the other one got it. And if one get paid 1 week, they get paid the same time. I know all their pay schedules. I know they got money. But I'm very encouraged how they take care of one another. So y'all, listen to me. Y'all got to do that with your family. So Alvarez ain't working, but you got to take care. You know what encouraged me the other day? And I'm closing here, but this encouraged me. You was out of town. You and your husband. Y'all went on a little trip together. And I thought they were going to be with Laverne. They showed up at church. And Harvell just following his big sister. Where she go, he go. He just strutting, man. You should have saw he was strutting. Walking with his sister. And then she didn't tell me they had to walk way to go to a car because I had to park my car way off somewhere too. And we had a great time at church and somebody gave me a ride to my car. David Ekigere was here that day. David gave me a ride because we was going to eat dinner together. And we rode up on, I said, David, Arvell walking way up there. And boy, Arvell was walking with his sister like, I got this. Come on. Man, they're walking to their car, and she's just smiling. And I get to the car, and they park. I think y'all park behind me. They park right behind me. I get in my car, and I'm like, they're still walking. We park right behind you, you know. And he was just so proud to be walking with his sister. But she was so proud to be with her brother. Did y'all go get something to eat that day? Yeah, you paid for it? Go on, girl. Go on, girl. Yeah, I paid for that. Man, isn't that cool? Feeding me. See, Silhouette, you got to do that too. You got a car. Listen, sis, get in the car. Let's go. It's on me today. You might take it to McDonald's now. Don't be trying to own you. You don't want to go to Red Lobster. It'd be a little expensive. But you can every now and then. Take it to Red Lobster. Take it to Red Lobster. Say, get on in the car. I got you. That's the gratitude and heart for one another we got to have. Be willing to spend your last dime. Michael called this morning. He said, you know what? I'm going to do something for Brittany. I said, that's cool, Mike. Yeah, I got to do it. I make more money than her. I got to do some stuff. Yeah, you do make more money. Matter of fact, you make more money than your mama now. So you don't need nothing from us no more, right? Mike, I ain't say all that now. Hold up, slow down, slow your roll. Cut back. I ain't say that. I'm saying it. Game over. Shh. Cutting you off, baby. And you know, Mikey always thought about, but you doing that to Brittany? She's a girl. You a boy. Don't be trying to compare the two. It's very important. You take care of your brother? You take him out to eat sometime? Good. Like Carter said, oh, yeah, you take me to eat? That's cool. That's encouraged. Keep it up. Spend time together. Help each other find Jesus. Let him see. You're the oldest. Let him see God in you. Teach him to have a heart of gratitude. Silhouette, teach her about Jesus. Pray with her. Open the Bible with her. Ask her how she's doing spiritually. You're the Christian helper. Get her in the word of God. Girl, sis, what's up? What's going on? Why are you so slow to respond? Talk to her. That's your sister. Angela, study Bible. Ask her. Give me your name again. Eunalysis. Yonalise. I got it. Yona. Yona. Yonalise. Yonalise. That's it. I'm still not getting it. Yona. Oh, you go by Yona? Oh. I'm calling you Yo. What's up, Yo? We got to get it together. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? We got to get the spirit of gratitude. A heart that's looking out for each other. A heart of Christ. You know, your sister's out of town. She come back. She better be taking you out to eat. Say, come on, big sis. What's up? Y'all build each other up. And then I want y'all to take your parents out to eat. When last time you told your parents, I got this? Truth be told, Michael tried. He tries all the time with me. I'm like, no, you ain't got this yet. But I let you be a big dog one day, but you ain't got. He be trying all the time. Dad, I got this. No, you don't. Not yet. I'm going to tell you when. I got a plan. I got a place that you can have it. Are you with me? I really want to encourage you guys. How many more things you got to tell your parents before you leave? Who said that? Eight more. Eight more things that you're grateful for. Are you with me? And then I want us to really get serious about our walk with God, of gratitude towards God. Amen. Next week, I'm going to finish up. I'm going to finish up next week. But we're going to get more and more into about this heart that overflows. How do we help? What do we do with it? How do we get it there? Because we want all our hearts to be overflowing. Because if you're overflowing, you'll never walk away from God. It's when there's nothing flowing out of your heart, you're in trouble. And the only thing in it is evil, you're done. So we got to get the godliness in there that's overflowing with spirit of goodness, love, peace, joy, kindness. That needs to be in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Let's get on our knees as we close with a prayer. And I want those who study the Bible, I'm going to help you see that until you're born again, you won't get this. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But it's God to those who are saved. Are you with me? Ken, would you pray for us?